Welcome to the Turbo Time Podcast with online editor Tim Lukak. Today, we're joined by the two Mythbusters, Klaus Brunn and Reiner Kurz, for a continuation of our discussion on liquefied natural gas in the turbo machinery industry.
Hello, this is Klaus Brunn, and I appreciate you inviting us again.
Hi, this is Reiner Kurz. I'm glad to be invited.
I'd like to begin the episode by going off of what Klaus was previously talking about in regards to the concerns about being able to actually sell LNG in the long term. I wonder, what do you think is the most limiting factor for the growth of the LNG industry right now?
I would state it's not a single limiting factor. I think it's from a turbo machinery perspective, you need turbo machinery basically from the wellhead to the production of the LNG. Then you transport your LNG, then you have to regasify it and then put it in a pipeline, then transport it in a pipeline again. So there's turbo machinery throughout the process. So you have your gas gathering turbo machinery, you have your gas plant, so your treatment basically of your gas turbo machinery, you have your pipeline compression turbo machinery, you have your LNG plant, et cetera. So you're going through that entire process. And all of these require, as Reiner correctly stated, either gas turbine driven or electric motor driven compressors that are long lead items. If you go to one of the major manufacturers of turbo machinery right now and you ask for a compressor, be it a refrigeration compressor or a pipeline compressor or a gas gathering compressor, typical lead times are 12 months and higher. And Reiner, you can jump in from your perspective on this, but they're very long. And you have to install these machines, have to be commissioned. So you're looking at 24 months timeframes to get the gas to an LNG facility, right? And it's similar timeframes for the LNG facility or longer itself. It is easier to expand capacity in an existing LNG facility by adding a train than building a new LNG facility. But either way, these are fairly complex facilities that take a long time to plan, build, commission and startup.
Yeah, and I think Klaus is absolutely right pointing at the timeline. So there's a short timeline, meaning how long does it take you to actually get a LNG plant permitted and built, and getting the natural gas pipelines that you need to run it in place, permitted and built. And on the longer end, the question is really, how long are you going to be able to use that facility? The general energy situation for fossil fuels right now is we have plenty of fossil fuels and we know how to extract them. But again, the question is, how much CO2 do we allow to go into the atmosphere? So that's really probably the biggest limiting factor. And if you look into Europe, there's a very strong movement to get away from fossil fuels. That is something that if you build an LNG plant today would really worry you.
So, I mean, recent LNG plants that have been built in the world have cost in excess of $50 billion each, the large ones. And you have to consider then that if a company or multiple companies make that kind of commitment, they have to have some kind of assurance that they're going to be selling that LNG, not just for the next 5 years, but hopefully for the next 20 or 30 years, because otherwise they're not going to make their money back. And I think that is currently one of the big issues, where there is a near-term, very, very high demand for LNG. And there is an expectation for the oil and gas industry to invest in meeting that demand. But then there's also statements from the policy that, please go away, we don't want you in 10 years or 15 years anymore.
Where do you see LNG as a whole in 10 to 15 years?
What you're really asking is, what's the future of fossil fuels and in particular natural gas? And you will find that a lot of sources predict a continued growth in the use of natural gas.
Natural gas is an incredibly clean fuel compared to many of the other fossil fuels. I mean, you compare natural gas to coal, natural gas is number one, burns extremely clean, but also has a very low carbon to hydrogen ratio. That means per hydrogen, which is, as we know, creates just water, there is very little C to create CO2. So it is actually a very good transition fuel toward a hydrogen economy. From all the fossil fuels that are out there, natural gas is the cleanest from a burning perspective and from a carbon production perspective, CO2 greenhouse gas production perspective. And so it certainly is going to be used for a long time as a transition fuel, because currently the world, somewhere around 75 or so percent of world energy demand is based on fossil fuels. So that's not going to go away. The question is really, is it a time frame of 15, 25 or 50 years that we will still continue to use natural gas? And my suspicion is, considering that a lot of natural gas infrastructure is being currently built right now to meet energy demands in the world, I suspect that most of these companies that are making these massive investments, selling natural gas or LNG, same thing, for at least 20 to 30 years, otherwise they wouldn't be making these kind of investments.
Now, I just wanted to ask if either of you had any closing remarks for this topic.
I think what we'll see is a continued drive toward LNG usage in the world for at least the next 5 to 10 years, because we're moving from the natural gas usage as a limited energy distribution system where you have to build a pipeline to go from point A to point B, where natural gas is basically becoming a world commodity. You can buy natural gas now from anywhere in the world by buying LNG, and the LNG supply in the world is increasing drastically. And so it's basically becoming a spot market for LNG in the world right now. And that makes it more marketable, and that will lead to wider distribution. On the other hand, considering that there is also a huge push toward decarbonized energy, that will in the short run help natural gas, because as I mentioned before, natural gas is a very clean and relatively low carbon emitting fuel. But in the long term, it will lead to a transition to hydrogen or other fuels, at which point there'll be probably a phase out of natural gas, but that could be 25, 30, 40 years away.
Yeah, I think the flexibility that LNG gives in the distribution and also in the use of what's often referred to as stranded assets really gives LNG a number of very important strengths in the international energy market. So it will retain its importance for a very long time.
Well, I'd say that just about covers it. Again, I appreciate you both coming on the show today to clarify all this.
Thank you very much for having me again, and I'm looking forward to the next podcast we're going to do on our Turbo Mythbusters.
Yeah, same here. I really enjoyed that discussion, and I'm looking forward to continue that endeavor.
This has been online editor Tim Lukak with Mythbusters Klaus Brunn and Rainer Kurz, clarifying some crucial information about the LNG supply chain. We hope you enjoyed this Turbo Time podcast episode. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.